cake.
Have you seen the cartoon where two sheep are talking about today's gospel lesson? Sheep A says to sheep B, I think that in today's market, this story would have gone the other way. Sheep B responds, it's not a story about the market. It's a story about how we spend our salvation. And sheep A, with a puzzled look on his face, says, no, it isn't. And the master should have said to that last guy, hey, way to go. You didn't lose your shirt. Well, we scratch our heads too. What is this parable about? Why did the master act so harshly towards the last servant? Even though what we have here are three servants, we could look at them as two types of servants. Two are investor servants, and one is a saver servant. So, the master goes on a journey and asks his servants to manage his money while he's gone. The first two, he gives a good sum of money to manage. We aren't told if they are financial planners or if they know anything about investments. In fact, it might be a bit of a surprise to us that a wealthy person would just hand over a sizable sum of money to servants who may not even be money professionals. I'd think twice. And it appears that those servants were very willing to take big risks with their master's money. Most of us have moved our investments around a bit since 2008. We would have been less likely to take big risks. We surely wouldn't want someone else to be risky with our hard-earned money. And then, can you imagine what it must have been like to live life as those investment servants? They must have been freaking out, watching the markets day by day. Yeah, we made our master money today. Oh no, we lost our master a whole bunch of money today. They were so lucky. The master came back. So, in many ways, we can appreciate the saver servant's decision to dig a deep hole in the backyard and stomp down the dirt hard. Save the master's money, we say. Put it in a piggy bank. Put it in a GIC. No matter what you do, be prudent, we say. Yeah, burying it in the ground may seem odd, but we all know interest is so low in a savings account right now that it's almost as good as burying it in the backyard. Maybe the saver servant is on to something. So, imagine our surprise when the master returns. Oh, maybe we're not so surprised at the master's reaction to the investment servants. If we had gotten a great return, we'd be jumping up and down and throwing money at our investment managers. Great job, we'd say. Make me some more money. And we'd hand over more cash. Yet then again, what was the saver servant thinking? We might say. We all participate in the market one way or another, even if it's just mutual funds. Very few of us would actually bury our piggy banks in the ground because we know there would be no potential for growth at all if we did that. Although, maybe if we lost our shirts in 2008, we would bury our money in the backyard. In the Great Depression, folks lost all confidence in the banks, and truly many did put their money under their mattresses. But when the master comes back, do you remember what the Savior servant says? The Savior servant doesn't talk about the safety of the banks or the volatility of the markets.
What?
The Savior servant says, I knew you were a harsh person. The Savior servant was afraid of his master because the master had a reputation of being ruthless. The Savior servant buried the money because he was afraid. Afraid. Okay, now Jesus really has a question. Is this a parable about God or not? Because brothers and sisters in Christ, our God is not a ruthless God. Our God is not a harsh God. Our world seems to play in the rules of produce and win a reward. Somewhere along the journey of life, we were given the notion that if we work hard, if we play the game wisely, if we stick out our necks, we will go far. While, at the same time, somewhere, we were given the notion that you gotta be careful. There are dangers all around. Life is waiting for the next shoe to fall. So don't get too cocky. God's gonna get you. But neither way is the way our God is. Our God is not ruthless. Oh, Jesus, you're such a good storyteller. God has broken into our world to turn our world on its head. So, if God does not work out of a produce and reward model, if God does not work out of you better do things right or you're going to get it in the end model, if it's not about being risk takers and playing it safe, then how are we supposed to live? How are we to live as a community of Christ? How are we to live in the kingdom of God? Could it be? Could it really be? God is all about grace? Wow. That's going to take some getting used to. It might take us a while to wrap our heads around living grace. We might be tempted to revert back to the old ways of work and reward, or the right way and the wrong way, or the haves and the have-nots, or the shrewd and the not-so-shrewd. But God is all about grace. And perhaps grace is what this shelter is all about. No questions asked, no judgment, no hidden religious agenda, just warm beds, hot showers, nutritious food, clean clothes, and respect. That's the grace of God offered to all of us. No questions asked, no judgment, no hidden religious agenda, just warm beds, hot showers, nutritious food, clean clothes, and respect. No have and have-nots, no shrewdness, no right way or wrong way, no work and then you get your reward, no watch it, God's going to get you. Just grace. Just grace.
Amen.